I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a restaurant.
Welcome to episode 157 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only PIMPcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. So glad to be with you. All right. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all. 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, source all the stuff you can yourself. And then the things you can't get, you might want to think about getting it from Heaven's Harvest. Really awesome company, really awesome people. 10% off with promo code PERMA. And as always, if you'd like to check us out on the Fountain app, you can go ahead and check it out over there. Triple up the speed if you like. Might make me a little bit more tolerable. Or if you got a lunch break or whatever, you got to speed it up. That's a pretty handy way to do it. But also, if you'd like to drop a derivation of Bitcoin called sats, SATs, go ahead and do it over on the Fountain app. So if you'd like to drop some SATs on a PIMP, go ahead and do it over there. All right, so usually the Homestead Honey's with me, but yeah, we're going at 100 miles an hour around here, y'all, and she just got finished doing a whole long, I don't know what she's carrying around, 40 pounds in that rucksack. Well, anyway, she's pretty wore out from that. And frankly, I prepped the show a little bit too late to give her any kind of prep time, so maybe she'll be on with me on Thursday. And that's Thursday, unless something changes. I'm guessing I'm going to do more of a Q&A episode on that. Might even try to go live, but I doubt it. I know a lot of people are kind of like the YouTube live version of it. But the problem is, y'all, I mean, it was like I was telling somebody else the other day. I could get on there at this point and sing Mary Had a Little Lamb, and they would flag it. It's like no matter what we say, as long as we're doing this show, it gets flagged on YouTube. So we'll see if we can do anything on Rumble, but I got to be honest with you. I kind of like the voice-only format. That's where 99% of everybody's listening anyway. Plus, I don't know. I feel like it makes me a little lazy when I'm doing a visual part of it. I just feel like, I don't know. It just feels like I don't put as much into it as when I do when I have to use my voice when it's voice only. You know, that's why I love talk radio so much, old school talk radio, where they would have the radio shows, you know, like the Lone Ranger and some of that stuff. When Michelle and I first got married, we were living in Colorado Springs at the time. And I remember I would always listen because it was the home of Focus on the Family. I'd always listen to those Adventures in Odyssey shows. And, you know, we didn't have a TV or anything. So it was like listening to the Lone Ranger, the old school Lone Ranger. And it's like reading a book to a certain extent. It was theater of the mind where you kind of in your mind create all these characters. So I've always had a fascination for that and the ability to use just voice media alone. I know a lot of people are doing it with the visual part of it too, but you know, I think I like it better this way. In fact, I'm sure I do. It might just stay this way. Well, holler if you hear me. Let me know if you like it one way or the other. Probably going to keep it audio anyway because I'm going to be less likely to get, less likely to get attacked. I know it's just a matter of time before many of us out there trying to speak truth to power are dealt with in the powers that shouldn't be, you know, in a way that they want best to deal with us, which is probably going to be take more of our voices away. So it seems like the last bastion of any kind of free speech seems to be in the podcast space. So we'll keep using YouTube and, you know, to a greater degree, even Patreon, you know, for a lot of the, I go into much greater detail on Patreon. I really like it because I don't have to worry about the editing or something. I can do just the facts, ma'am, and really cover a lot of information that I couldn't necessarily put in a video. So you can get on there for as little as a dollar. So if you want to drop some more money over there, I'm not going to say no. All right. So let's get right into the farm news. Once again, y'all, that freeze dryer day and night, that thing is absolutely chirping. It's doing great. I know everybody can't afford one, but even in these times, look, I know most of us have more time than money. If you got a can exclusively, that's fine. But the freeze dryer is pretty handy in that your items that you process are way more mobile. So if you have to ditty them out of your place for any reason, good night, man. It wouldn't be hard to put a ton of freeze-dried meals, you know, in your vehicle, whatever the case may be. Plus, you know, for camping, look, I've tried probably every freeze-dried meal on the planet. And yeah, they got them over there at Heaven's Harvest. And if you don't have a freeze dryer, by all means, get it over there. But I'm going to tell you, the stuff I make is light years better than anything you're ever going to find through any kind of, you know, freeze dried company, because I can use the highest ingredients. I can use what we're already eating anyway. Just take, you know, just make a bunch more of it, put it away, and then bam, you store it right. You know, that stuff's good for 25, 30 years. So, and then if you go camping or something, you can cycle through that stuff, or you're in one of those things where you're going to take your bug out bag with your prepper group or preparedness group rather. Well, it's pretty handy for that too. So, yeah, I mentioned also Michelle, she went out there today. I had to go to town, and while I was doing a running around, she had a rucksack on her back. She's training for an event that's going to happen in a couple of months. And she put in 6 miles, and she had a whole lot of weight, and she was stepping it out. She must have had a pretty good pace, because, I mean, typically in the military, about 15-minute miles is about what you would expect with a troop fully loaded down, 40-pound rucksack, something like that. So if you're doing 15-minute miles, folks, that's about as fast as you can walk without running. And, man, she's really burning it up. So, yeah, Homestead Honey is off and running. Well, off and walking anyway. So we got this new project that I'm trying. Look, y'all, I've been racking my brains. You know, I went to the Lord asking, man, I got to do something with these chickens. But the barn, we took down half of it because we had other plans, and then the plans changed. And so I'm like, okay, I got to get them out of, if you can possibly help it, you want to avoid putting your chickens in the pasture through the winter. At least that's my experience. And another little trick I learned from Joel Salatin is that your pastures are not going to recover in the time the chickens do their damage. So if you can bring them inside or put them in a static environment that can still be very much permaculture, you can do a deep bedding method. You could do Eric Sider's version of a chicken tractor on steroids, depending on how many birds you have, where they're all self-contained, everything's well, and he's producing compost, y'all, that will knock your socks off. I know, because we tested it. And to say that stuff was biocomplete is an understatement. So Eric is producing fantastic, you know, slap your mama kind of compost, and he's doing it all with these systems. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, now how do I go about this? Well, got this great idea the other day, and in our hide tunnel, I'm actually going to put them out there, but I come up with this way. Man, I was really racking my brain, like, okay, what are the best ways to go about this? How can I do this without having to buy a bunch of infrastructure? Because all of us these days has more time than money. So I think I came up with a way, y'all, and if it works out, I think it's going to be absolutely revolutionary in so many. I know that sounds like hyperbole, but I really don't think it is, because it's another derivation of a chicken tractor on steroids. And it could be a little bit sloppy. I know it's not going to be wonderful right out of the gates, but I know with a little time, I know this thing is going to absolutely positively change. It's going to be a blessing to a whole lot of people out there. So got to get a few materials for that, but I don't really think it's going to be all that hard to do. But plus, it'll solve a bunch of problems to get the chickens out of the pasture. And at this time where we got so many other irons in the fire, that's one less thing to have to move every day. If I can put them in something of a static environment, a holistic static environment. I know that sounds crazy. It sounds a little antithetical to permaculture, but it really isn't. Just bear with me, and probably release more of it on Patreon, or at least the nuts and bolts of it on Patreon, and then kind of do an overall video on YouTube. But I think it's going to blow your mind when you see how well it works. And the cool thing about it, here's why you want to get your training from multiple people out there. Because when I think of the inspiration of what came up, of why I came up with this idea, I thought about all the people that contributed to it. Eric Sider being one of them. Obviously, Jeff Lawton being another one. Nicholas Bertner, he had a variation of a project. It was called the Purple Pear thing. And it was out of Australia or New Zealand. I can't remember which. But he was the one that made me aware of that. And they use a different version of it where they use a chook dome and they have round structures. I got it a little bit different, and I'm absolutely positively sure this thing is going to absolutely work. And Man, I'm really excited to get that off and running. I'll let you know more about it as it unfolds, but I am really excited to see how this thing pans out. So, so think about taking your chickens out of the pasture if you have that option. Because, like I said, they're doing more harm than good this time of year because there isn't a whole lot of comeback. They're not getting any bugs out there. At least if you're living in a, if you're living in a very, very warm spot, it may be a different thing altogether. But when you're in one of the, like in a temperate rainforest where we are right now or any other environment around us, you're probably going to want to get them out of the field if you have the option. All right. So today's been unusual. When I say unusual, well, I had to go to town, which is never a good thing. I really don't like going to town. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I really do not like it. And I was in Asheville. I had to stop by a gas station over there. And goodness, man, I can't get over all of the homeless people that were stacked up in this place. I mean, it seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. So many people just strung out. So many people that are just, I mean, it's like you're in the middle of a dystopic novel, but it seems to be getting worse in so many different ways. And good night, man. I'm just hoping and praying that these people find their way because a lot of them, they are truly troubled. You know, I've kidded around in the past. There's a difference between homeless and a bum. Yeah, there is a difference. You know, a homeless guy or the people is the guy I saw today. Legitimately homeless. You can tell it in his dress. You can tell it in his demeanor. But when I see somebody on the street corner and it's the same person every time holding the same sign that, by the way, you can't even read, brand new shoes, cell phone, brand new clothes, the whole nine yards, that to me is a flipping bum. Because I know at the end of the day, if you watch these people, I'm like, okay, I saw you here 2 months ago and you still got the same tired, beat up sign. Everybody, there's signs everywhere saying, you know, hiring, can't find anybody. And you're going to tell me you can't, you look like you got clean shoes, clean clothes. Do you really live somewhere and you're pretending to be homeless? Because that's really what I'm starting to suspect around here. All right. Well, I won't keep up on that. But anyway, I woke up late today. And when I say late, y'all, for me, that is like seriously late because I get up. I told you about my routine before. But man, I can't remember the last time I got up at 7:45. I mean, it's happened before in the past. And the way that usually happens is I usually get up early, go to bed very late, and I get to a point of critical mass where I finally go down, go to sleep, and then I sleep forever in a day. And, you know, well, that ain't good when you got animals and stuff. So, so that was weird. And so when you get up that late, it just throws everything out of whack. And, I think my body needed it, but I'm going to do a better job. I guess what I'm saying all this for is basically I'm going to do a better job of making sure I'm laying myself that I turn my brain off because I know how to do it. Turn my brain off, jump in the sack and go to sleep. Yeah, that's the problem. You know, I love what I do so much that it could sometimes be a detriment because I'm staying up late, you know, whether I'm studying, whether I'm, trying to think about the next project that I want to get done. This to me is not drudgery. I love it, but there can be too much of a good thing. And, if it's costing me my sleep, then what good are the other hacks that I'm trying to do? So of all the things I'm trying to get in order, I got to be honest with you. I thought coffee was the hardest one for me, but it turns out that sleeping, going to sleep when I'm supposed to is the big, getting up ain't the problem. Usually it's going to sleep. So I don't know how many other people out there deal with that same thing. But for me, that's something I'm really going to put work in. And starting tonight, I'm going to lay down, not going to put my, you know, I'll put the headphones on and I'll listen to scripture or something. And, you know, with the healing tones, I'll do that. But I'm going to try to whittle myself back, maybe try going to bed at 11, then drop it back to 10 and we'll see what goes from there. So that's one of my big things there. So one of the other little bits of farm news, and folks, this is kind of important, and it's probably going to hit a lot of folks out there that are trying to figure out what to do in these times. And that's actually what I'm going to cover in the main topic. And it might offer a little bit of relief here when you think about my angle on it, because I had something of a eureka moment regarding a lot of this stuff. But I'm absolutely sure things, I don't know when, I'm not even going to pretend I know when things are going to get totally off the rails and go stupid, but I know it's going to happen. But it's like, you know, why put yourself through the torment and the worry before it even happens? So I'm not doing any of that. I'm really not. But at the same time, I'm trying to get in place all of the things I need. And frankly, I've been just so upside down with so many different projects going at the same time that you can kind of forget about what's most important. And what I'm getting at here is I've had this EcoFlow solar generator for probably 6 months. Been sitting in a box out in the garage for six flipping months. Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say it, but you know, I lay all my dirty laundry out here. So it is what it is. And I'm sure there's a lot of, I know, in fact, look, it's one of the biggest complaints in the preparedness world. I don't know of how many people have all these different things, preparedness items, and they never broke them out of the box. Could be your ham radio, could be any number of things out there. And for me, I'm thinking, okay, well, I got generators and stuff, you know, do I really need to worry about this solar thing? And then finally I said, okay, I'm going to put it on my list. I'm going to get it done. And I did. Folks, I got to be honest with you. Now, I'm saying this to offer a basis of comparison. I've been a journeyman electrician for a long, long time. And I'm telling you what, I honestly believe a 10-year-old could put this thing together. That's how user-friendly it is. I've never seen anything, you know, I've worked in other solar systems in different capacities. And this one, I was thinking, okay, you know, what special stuff am I going to have? What am I going to have to do? What am I going to, you know, all these different things. Okay, I know it can be charged up with solar. I know it can be charged up with AC power. I know it can be charged up with a generator, which is ultimately going to be AC power. I know it can be charged up with your, you can even charge this thing from your vehicle. And I'm thinking, huh, man, you know, I cannot believe I left this thing in the box as long as it did. And the capacity is really impressive. In fact, I'm thinking about doing a video of it tomorrow because it's really astonishing how easy we're putting out the video tomorrow, actually, because, man, I think so many people are kind of, I know some women have reached out before and they were a little bit concerned about how difficult it might be to tie these things in. Look, man, it doesn't get any simpler than this. Only downside is if you're wanting to get 240 volts out of this, which is a concern. And the biggest concern being, okay, so I have yet to see a well pump on a house that's running on anything other than 240 volts. So this thing only puts out 120 depending on the model you get. I think this is the Delta Max. Well, it's 120 volts, but it could run some of your critical stuff. But be thinking about that. You know, it's never going to have the same punch as a regular generator, which I got another one out there. It's a dual fuel generator, and it runs on, it's brand new straight out of the box. I've also had this one for 6 months. But I wasn't worried about it because I have another generator that also runs 240. So remember, in the preparedness world, two is one and one is none. The reason I'm saying all this is, folks, it's going to get real. I don't know if they're playing games with these storms right now, but you know, they're, you know, some of the prognosticators, the weather prognosticators are saying we're in for some bad weather, especially folks in the Midwest. And looks like it's even going to hit Carolina. They're even talking about Florida. Look, y'all, this could very well be what Shakespeare called the winter of our discontent. In fact, my feeling of it is it probably is. And I think this whole year, and I think there may be something to the population numbers that people like the, I can't think of the name of it right now, but they made these predictions that turned the whole world on its head when they said America would be down to 100 million and then 70 million by 2025. And nobody could ever figure out how we arrive at those numbers. And man, I can't believe I'm talking about it and I can't remember it right now, but it was the Deagle Report. That's it. You may be able to still find it online, but anyway, the Deagle Report was considered like right on the money. All of the people in the conservative, well, I can't even say conservative media. I'd say the alternative media were talking about this thing for years. And all of a sudden when the jab came out, we're looking at the results of that and people are thinking, okay, maybe that's how we get down to 100 million from 330 or 50 million, whatever we are in the United States of amnesia. How do we get down to this 100? And then the revised numbers were 70 million. Look, I'm not going to sit here and come up with all the ways that may happen, but in light of everything that's unfolding right now, whether it's a cyber attack that they, of course, engineer. If it happens, you better believe it was planned that way. Or EMP, you better believe it was planned that way. Another pandemic, it'll be another case of the sweet and sour sniffles that somebody manufactured in the lab. And then, of course, hook, line, and sinker, most people are just going to fall in line with it. That's why I'm making sure everything is on point. You know, there are other things out there that I have in the works, like doing a solar water heater. So many other things that you can do that really don't require much more. I would also say, if you're going to run a generator on your house, folks, be smart about it. Now, here's what I'm getting at. You can go ahead, fire up. Let's say you have a regular, I don't know, let's say it's a 10,000 watt generator. Okay. Probably handle most of what you have going on in the house. But when you run all the stuff in your house, let's say you got a 50 amp stove. And yes, I got a generator that can handle that. But do I want to run that? The answer is a resounding no. So even when you have your generator on, think about load shedding. That's what I'm getting at. Only the critical stuff. So you're going to have to ask yourself, what is critical? Because if you're on something like that EcoFlow, okay, it's not going to have nowhere near the punch as something that's running on LP gas or gasoline or even diesel for that matter. It's not going to have the same punch. So you got to be thinking about your critical items, because if you got that thing revving more than an idle, then you're using up more fuel. And who knows how long the outage may happen. So be extremely cautious about, even if you have a whole house generator, don't turn the lights on unless you absolutely need them. Maybe instead of lights, consider candles. Consider other means, you know, don't turn on your stove. If you can, if you're in a power outage, maybe consider about, you know, consider one of those sun ovens. I mean, last thing you're going to want to do, your power now just became very, very, very critical. So be thinking about those things. That's why I'm going to start putting way more focus on preparedness, because I'm absolutely positively convinced. I'm not going to sit here and give you all, I can cite them. I can give you 101 reasons why I think I'm right. I can, and no doubt about that. I can give you all the reasons in the world why I think I got this down and why I think things are going to get stupid. But man, just like, you know, just like Woodrow or Woodrow told Call in the Lonesome Dove. It's better to have it, not need it, than need it and not have it. That's what I'm talking about. All right, y'all. We don't have a download from Pastor Lon tonight because he is under the weather. I think he's got a case of that latest sweet and sour sniffles. So he's not going to be on tonight. So please pray for him, and pray especially for a swift recovery. Now, before we get into the good news, I want to tell you that Redemption Shield still has that 10% off with promo code PERMA. Look, y'all, I'm not even going to kid you. I buy their products and I use them, especially when it's cold out right now. Maybe you don't want to get out there and put your bare feet on the ground. Well, you can put them on that mat or get yourself some sheets where you're at least grounding yourself as you sleep. And like I said before, sleep like $1 million on this stuff. So as always, y'all, I don't bring anybody on this program whose stuff I'm not using and I don't believe in or I don't absolutely trust. So Redemption Shield, if you need any grounding, shielding stuff over there, hey, and I can't wait to show y'all the new hat I got from them, where it's basically, okay, they call us tinfoil hat people. Well, guess what? There's some of that that blocking technology. What is it? Military grade shielding technology. They got them in the hats. So I got a couple of hats down there. One's gray, one's black, and I'm going to start sporting those in the videos when it gets cold enough. Probably need to wear it all the time, given what's going on in this day and age. All right, so let's get on to the good news. No bad news, y'all. Well, usually kind of weave any of that into the main topic. So check this out. Yeah, 40% of America say Biden is an illegitimate president. All right, the nuts and bolts of this, the reason why I'm calling that good news, and I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, I'm not left or right, I'm not any of those people. Don't side with any of them. They're all poll cats. Check out the work of Carol Quigley, and you'll know the full extent why, where the whole apparatus is set up to give you the illusion of choice when they're all working for the same people. Anyway, reason why that article is so important is that it's showing that the dam is starting to break regarding some of this stuff. What do I mean by that? I mean specifically that the shield that's around everybody's eyes, the crucible of really hard times, is starting to unfold. And as it unfolds, we're finding out also that people are saying, look, man, it sure looks like these Republicans are dogs. And then people are, believe it or not, even on the Democrat side, they're saying, look, there's guys in the hood saying, man, there's no way I'm ever going to vote Democrat again. I don't know how many Republicans are doing the same, but it's showing that people are starting to wake up and they're realizing this false left-right paradigm is exactly that, a false left-right paradigm. So it's I'm going to call that good news, because it's showing that through these tough times, you know, there people aren't completely stupid. They're saying, okay, let me get this right. My grandma is out there flipping a coin, figuring out whether or not she's going to take her heart medication or whether or not she's going to eat cat food. But you got how many billions to send over to Israel? You got how many billions to send over to Ukraine? You got how many billions to send over to all these other countries out there? You're telling me we're borrowing and we got a national deficit. What do we put? Another trillion with a T onto the deficit in just the last 3 months. What do we go from 31 trillion to 32 trillion? We did that in a quarter. Folks, that's unbelievable. It shows you that this whole house of cards is coming down. But you don't have to be alarmed. You don't have to worry about it. Well, you do have to worry about it, but you don't have to obsess about it. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the future regarding some of these prognosticators out there and how wrong they are. But yeah, this whole thing's coming down, but we need to worry about insulation. All right, let me get on to the next one. So there's 17. This one's a really good article, a prepper pharmacy. 17 medicinal plants that you can grow indoors year-round. And that came from Natural News. This, so you got basil, chamomile, chives, echinacea, garlic, lavender, lemon balm, marjoram, oregano, parsley, rosemary, sage, spearmint, stevia, tarragon, thyme, one of my favorites, turmeric or turmeric, depending on how people, I mean, that one alone I use every single day. But be thinking about that stuff. We talked before about the microgreens, and you know, from a cost standpoint, I don't know that it makes perfect sense. I know it does if you're going to buy them. Well, it's better absolutely to grow them, because buying them, you're not saving, you know, buying them from, you know, anybody that's selling them. You don't know necessarily know what they put into them, but I guarantee you the way we're doing them right now, good night, man. If these things were already power packed with just putting them in an inert medium, we're putting some of that bomb compost in there right now, y'all. And I'm telling you what, this stuff is absolutely blowing up. I'm eating it every single day. And honestly, you should try to do that anyway. Because believe it or not, the microbes, I'm hopefully not going to get too heady here, but the microbes on the outside, this is what makes a compost pile work in terms of bacteria. Everything you eat has microbes on it, especially the stuff you grow. Now, the more central whatever it is you grow to where you are, preferably your house, your farm, your apartment, whatever the case may be, those microbes are indigenous to where you are. And believe it or not, 9 times out of 10, those are really good microbes, especially when you make really, really awesome compost like the kind Eric Sider was making. When you put that in there, I won't go through all of it. I can get pretty heady on this stuff. But long story short is that all those beneficial microbes that are on the surface, you can't wash them off. They're on there, whether you like it or not. Okay, so tell all your vegan friends out there that they're killing microbes every time they bite into that lettuce. Anyway, all that stuff is of great benefit to your gut bacteria. Now, you know, I mean, if you're one of those people that are doing like a meat-only diet, a carnivore diet, you know, there's a lot of great information that these people are getting, wonderful benefits out of it. I'm just saying, in terms of the things you can grow, and particularly as local to your home as possible, all those beneficial microbes that are on there that haven't been, you know, shot up with every kind of disease or every kind of fungicide, pesticide, every kind of side imaginable. Remember, side means to kill, okay? So whenever you have all that stuff on there, all the beneficial microbes are not there. Maybe that's why our gut bacteria is so jacked up. So anyway, that brings me right back to these things that you can grow on your windowsill. If you can. Try to eat something from your farm every single day, even if it's mint just growing outside the door. Put it in your mouth, chew on it. Probably make your breath smell better anyway. These things you grow on the windowsill, use some really good compost that you have out there. Guess what? You're getting the benefit of all those beneficial microbes, even if it's growing in your windowsill. So sorry to spend so much time on that one, y'all, but I mean, there's some really, really awesome stuff out there. And in most cases, it really doesn't cost much. In fact, I've been talking about all these healing modalities. They really don't cost you a dime at all. All right, so here's the last article. Melting Antarctic scare narrative exposed as fraudulent. Yeah, scientists are figuring out that Antarctic has more ice and it's more stable than previously thought. How about that? And depending on your level of cosmology and what you think, I won't go too deep into that because I'm still examining the whole thing myself. But anyway, depending on your cosmology and how you see it all, well, that shelf there has been there for a very long time and it's going to be there a long time. Look, think about everything you think you know right now. Who told it to you? 9 times out of 10, it was probably a profligate liar. Everything, in fact, I just said this in an interview I did with the Permaculture Princess. I don't mean Michelle. I mean another Permaculture Princess. That interview is going to come out on Wednesday. The only thing, and I don't know if I said it live or said it offline. Look, everything I've examined for myself, you know, when you're told these things, you hear certain things, you know, you're made to believe certain things. The only thing I'm 100% sure about, 100%, is Jesus is my Lord and Savior. That is the one thing I'm 100% sure, have examined it, and without question, I believe is truth. I know it's truth. And there's going to be people out there that don't want to hear that, but hey, this is my podcast, man. That's how I feel about it. And I'm going to encourage everybody out there, find out who he is. You don't believe it? Just pray. Say, God, if you're out there, let me know. Please give me all the signs in the world. Maybe you said that prayer already. And maybe you're hearing me talk about this right now. So anyway, that's, I went a little bit sideways on some of this stuff, but you get the point here, y'all. I mean, I shoot from the hip with this podcast. Truth is, I do some preparation, very little. 9 times out of 10, I found out that when I speak more extemporaneously, that I think it just makes a better show. It just feels like I'm having a conversation with you as opposed to, you know, I don't want to read off of a script. I'm not going to sit here and have a bunch of notes and just go out down all this stuff. And because I do speak extemporaneously, sometimes I'm not always going to get it right. So when I'm giving out stats and maybe I get a date or two wrong, that's not intentional. I'm not, you know, it's how it comes out. Got all this stuff in my cabeza and I got to get it out. All right. With that said, y'all, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, the abundant mindset. The abundant mindset requires a clear definition of abundance or any desired outcome in order to be achieved. Many people have been conditioned to believe that possession equates to abundance, leading them to feel lack when they do not have something. However, this type of thinking is actually backwards. Our beliefs and perceptions shape our reality, and these are often influenced by past experiences. For example, if one perceives the world as hostile and limited, it is likely due to a past experience that has shaped this view. However, if we remove these limiting beliefs and perceptions, we may see the world as a friendly and abundant place. By shifting our perspective in this way, we realize that abundance is already within us. The key to accessing this abundance is mindfulness. In order to create a new future, we must become aware of our limiting thoughts. By midlife, most of our thoughts are unconscious, making it crucial to identify and understand these thoughts in order to prevent them from controlling us. One way to do this is by making a note of any thoughts that impede our progress towards our goals. By becoming conscious of these thoughts, we can actively control and prevent them from hindering our progress. With dedicated mindfulness practice, we can avoid slipping into self-limiting emotions and instead keep our energy focused on positive possibilities. By living in the present moment, we can break free from the constraints of our past and open ourselves up to new and unpredictable opportunities. Generating abundance requires mindfulness and control over our thoughts, behaviors, and emotions. Without this awareness, we may fall into negative patterns that impede our growth and success. To explore these ideas further, I highly recommend researching Dr. Joe Dispenza. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there. You know, man, it's funny because I'm a fan of Dr. Dispenza. I really am. A lot of great information over there. And there may be things that he talks about, things that he does that you may not like or may not. Look, at the end of the day, folks, the mark of any good thinker is the ability to hear any argument without necessarily agreeing or disagreeing with it. Or read something like The Tao of Jeet Kune Do by Bruce Lee, where he talks about, and it was something I remembered even as a kid when I read it, was that you absorb what's useful. So if anybody out there, whether it's Dr. Dispenza, say has some really great information, and let's say there's parts of it where with me, there's parts of it where I'm not on board, you know, there's lines I will not cross, but the information I got from that guy alone, good night, y'all, has been some of the best money I've ever spent on education. And it has gone a long way in what Eric just talked about as far as eliminating a lot of the bad negative thoughts that I was raised with. You gain these thoughts. You know, there's no intrinsically unhappy child that I've ever seen before. But through life, you know, you think about it, you know, through compulsory school, you know, when you're a kid, you think you can do anything. You have these incredible dreams. And somehow through the education system, maybe through our parents or people that should love us most, somehow or another, all of this can-do attitude is beaten out of us. And then we live in this place where we just, I don't know, if you're not careful, it could be nonstop negativity. And I found myself in that place a while back. And it's been at first it was a struggle, but Dr. Dispenza actually gave me a framework to get myself out of it. And now, like what Eric said, I didn't understand what it meant to be mindful. I didn't understand what it meant to be here and now. My brain is always, the problem I have is my brain moves five steps faster than where I should be focused. And so I had to whip my brain, and it's been a process, and I don't always get it right. But I had to whip my brain into practice, into shape, and say, okay, I need you to focus on this, nothing else. And that's part of what the meditations are designed to do. And like I said, you know, you can take it as far or as little as you like, but it's made all the difference in my life. It really has. And so that's a part of it. Like I said, man, Eric, boy, he's got some wonderful, wonderful, great information. I will also point out, too, is in all honesty, the happiest group of people I've ever met in my life, I mean, just seemed just fundamentally happy, were the kind of people, were the people in third world, or what everybody calls third world countries. The happiest people I ever met. The happiest person I ever met was homeless. And it was all a matter of how you looked at it. In his point of view, it wasn't that he was homeless. He was home free. And it was all a matter of where his mindset was. And he was there by choice. Wasn't that he was homeless. It was like, I choose to not have a home. And he was, you know, I met actually quite a few people like that who chose to live that way. And for them, it's been a glorious life for them. So, yeah, gotta love it. All right, let's get into the main topic here. And that's going to be your own expert. Bear with me, y'all. It hit me like a ton of bricks because, like I was describing a minute ago, my mind can sometimes go, I've never not had an idea for a YouTube video. I've talked to other people that produce videos and they struggle sometimes as what they're going to produce. For me, it's a matter of, okay, how many things? It's usually not, gee, I got to come up with something. It's like, okay, what's the best of the 20 ideas I got? And when you're not really pigeonholed into a particular category on a YouTube channel, you know, because it's all permaculture, that, I mean, the list is so wide, I could even put commentary like I did the other day regarding democide. You know, for me, that's not a problem. Sometimes taking in too much information could be a problem. Okay. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. There's a lot of folks out there that are taking in a lot of media. I listen to a lot of podcasts today, and if I'm not careful, I'll listen to a lot of negativity in one day. So like Michelle's got to constantly remind me, hey, you need to maybe, why don't you pull off of whatever you were listening to and go listen to something? And I'm like, okay, yep, you know what? I'm going to pull away from this. I'm going to go learn from, let's say, Stefan Subkoviak today. Okay. So I go check out his work, go do what I got to do there, and then move on. And then maybe come back, check it out. But look, I know a lot of people are on pins and needles. Now, this is going to sound almost contradictory to what I said in the beginning, but it's really not. So bear with me. All right. So let me go on back a little bit. Everybody, we hear a person that just because you hear them, for example, you're listening to me right now as you drive to work, or you're out doing your work, or whatever it is you're doing right now. By virtue of being in this medium, it is an appeal to authority. Whether you know it or not, people, when they fundamentally see a person on TV in a suit or they hear them over the radio, you automatically assume, whether you know it consciously or not, believe it or not, you consider that person an authority. You do. This medium alone, by virtue of using it, is an appeal to authority, which in and of itself is a fallacious argument. Okay? So, a person writes a book, they're considered an authority. Well, how many morons have written books? But because that appeal to authority exists out there, we seem to think these people know what they're talking about. That brings me to what I'm talking about today. We've had a whole lot of people over the last, I don't know, 6 years, maybe even 8 years at this point. And they come out of the woodwork, it seems. Give you an example. The guy, Mark Taylor, I think he wrote the Trump prophecies or whatever. He claimed, yeah, Trump's going to get 2 terms and this and that. And as I recall, you know, the claim was that they were going to happen back to back. The Obamas were going to be thrown in jail. I can't remember how all of it was, but by this time, I was already wide awake to all these people that just suddenly show up on the scene and have all this exclusive information. Or when you're calling yourself a prophet, well, there was a time back in the old days, old days, that if you claimed you were a prophet and it didn't go down the way you say it was not going to be a good day for you, nephew. So, Mark Taylor, Trump prophecies. People fell on board, believed everything he said, didn't work out that way for you. And here we are. There's another guy out there. Now, keep in mind, I'm not dogging these people. I'm just saying you were wrong. You didn't get it right. But a whole lot of people invested by virtue of these people having this platform. They invested a whole lot of their mental wherewithal into what these people were saying, even though they were wrong. One of the latest ones, I mean, there's a whole gang of them out there. I mean, I don't even know how many preachers were coming out there saying they had a dream. Things were going down. And to my knowledge, I don't recall ever hearing any of them say, hey, my bad, got this wrong. Well, then there's this other guy. He's gotten some things right to his credit, Bo Pony. I don't know this guy. He may be a decent dude, but I know he's given dates and timelines. It's funny how they focus on the things they got right, but then, you know, unlike people like Pinball Preparedness, when they get it wrong, they say, hey, I got it wrong. I can respect that. But the people that make these prognostications and then they come up short and you're leveraging the Bible to say you've done it, I mean, you got to do better than that, nephew. So this guy made all these claims. I don't know how many dates he said. All of them came and went. What was the last one? Before December's out, we're going to see. And then I do notice that there'll be some obscure thing that just happened to happen on that date. And he says it's fulfilled. So I'm waiting to see what he says on this one. Well, one of the latest also, and this thing is really making the rounds, is this Great Taking documentary. Okay. Now, I'd never heard of this guy before. Don't know anything about him. But everybody in the alternative media in some way or another has been talking about the information that he provides in that video. Is he right? Maybe. For those who haven't seen it, let me just kind of sum it up this way. Now, in full disclosure, there's a lot of technical jargon in there. I don't understand. I'll be honest with you. But what I do understand is that he's saying, okay, no matter who you are, they have leveraged, they've set up all the legal framework in all these things that if you own your home and things jump off and go the wrong way, they can come take your home, even though it's paid for. You own your vehicle. It's paid off and things go sideways. They can come take that too. Right about there is when I had a eureka moment. I'm listening. I can tell you right where I was. And I listened to this thing. It was playing, but I was listening to it while I was doing something else. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure how well I was doing that something else because I could do one thing really well, or I can do two things or more awful, and I'll do them all bad. But I was paying attention, and he had my full attention as I'm going through this thing because so many people have talked about it. I'm like, okay, I got to check this out. Now, let's think about this. Let's just kind of weigh this out. Let's think about this. And if he's correct, this may be, now, folks, you're going to think I'm absolutely lost my mind until you hear the whole argument. They're telling me that even if you paid off your house, these folks can come in because of the legal framework that they have behind it all and take your house. That ain't the big part. The big part is the car. Let me explain what I'm talking about here. And I'm just going to provide just off the top of my head some examples I can think of. You know, years ago, I remember being on the road with my friend Steve, and there was this other guy that came along. His name was Trevor Jones. Complete dirtbag. You know, in a nutshell, the dude was married, 2 kids. One of them is very, very special needs. Decided he's going to take off with me and Steve because work was hard to find in, you know, certain parts of the country. So typical of a lot of us IBEW journeymen, We hit the road looking for the big money, and it wasn't hard to find. You just got to travel to go get it. So you go to where the hot spot is, you do the work, get paid, move on to the next hot spot. You can make a lot of money doing that. If you don't have any habits, you can save a lot of money doing that. Anyway, you heard me talk about it before in the podcast. Trevor managed to get his truck repoed 2 times in 3 weeks. I am dead serious. 2 times in 3 weeks. Now, ended up coming up with money to get that truck back. Trevor also, and I don't even know how this is possible. I mean, I've never smoked marijuana in my life. If I tried it, I don't know about it. This dude was spending $700 a week on weed. I talked to other Hooter Bandits out there. They're like, I don't even know how that's possible. So Trevor had money. He eventually got his truck out both times. Probably even paid it off right now. Didn't have money for child support. Didn't have money for rent. Which, by the way, Steve threw him out because he didn't have the rent money. While I was sleeping. That's a story unto itself. He's out there sleeping in that truck. And so me and Steve now had the room to ourselves. We were packed in there like rats. Anyway, we were trying to get on our feet, make some money, you know, living accommodations notwithstanding. So anyway, Trevor didn't have child support money, but he had that truck payment money and he had his weed money. All right, there's another dude I worked with. I believe his name was LaMarcus. I never did like him. Every other day he'd go on about how he had 6 kids with 6 different women and how they're just dogging him and bleeding him half to death. And, you know, he's barely making it. But every time LaMarcus would leave work, he'd go out to his Cadillac. That's what it was. It wasn't a Cadillac. It was a Cadillac. Go out there to the trunk of his Cadillac, hit the little thing that opens the back of the trunk, put on some booties or change into some slippers, put on a jumpsuit, drive away in his Cadillac. But he didn't have money for child support. Had these 6 kids, no money for child support, but had this ballin' Cadillac. Do you know how many guys I know in Texas? Ain't paying child support, but they got an $80,000 truck. Some of them even more than that. Got a boat payment, but you know, they'll let anybody look after their kids. But ain't nobody driving that boat. Ain't nobody driving that truck. Those are guys I know in Texas. So here's what I'm getting at. You got all these prognosticators of doom. Like I said, the guy who came up with this great taking documentary, I don't know anything about him. But I was thinking, you know what? The best thing to have an intellectual revolution, and it might even become a shooting revolution, is to go after people's vehicles. I mean, think about this. Do you want to be the repo man that goes into a certain part of, let's say, one of the barrios of L.A., and you're about to go up to some dude named Little Frog and tell him that you now own his Chevy? Are you going to be the one to go after that vehicle? Because I ain't. Folks, I'm telling you right now, if this dude is correct, it ain't going to be the homes that people get thrown out of. What will cause the next great American revolution, and what may actually, I can't even believe I'm having to say this, but I really, call me crazy, but I really believe this. It won't be because they came after the kids, because they've already done that. Nobody did anything. It won't be because they came after your home, because people like Trevor, that no class, broke ass, white trash, yep, that sucker will sleep in his vehicle. But you go after somebody's guns, especially in Texas. You go after somebody's truck, especially in Texas. You go after somebody's Chevy, especially in the barrio of California, and you go after somebody's Cadillac in the hood, you are going to burn this whole country down. Or the opposite may happen. They're going to burn down the powers that shouldn't be over the dumbest thing humanly possible, and that's a vehicle. Folks, I know this sounds far-fetched, but I think I got it all worked out. And if it goes down this way, if they actually try to go after people's vehicles, that, mark my words, will be what causes the next great American revolution. And frankly, there's a part of me wanting to see how this unfolds. With that, we'll go straight into Chef Snow.
Hey, Chef Keith Snow with your PimpCast tip of the day, building food security. Start with the basics. Most people's food storage plan consists of buying a 3 to 6 month supply usually that includes lots of pre-made powdered meals like cheesy potato or cheesy broccoli soup mix, dehydrated chili, oatmeal breakfasts, etc. While I have no problem with these foods and I suggest you put some of them back, I advise people to start at the supermarket, especially those on a tight budget. And even though the foods I recommend are still cheap, they have skyrocketed in cost on a percentage basis in recent years. So now is the time to put foot to butt and start stocking up. Example, you can feed a small army with a few pounds of pasta and a few cans of tomatoes, which both store nearly forever and are relatively dirt cheap. Cook the pasta, then toss it into a pot with simmering canned tomatoes, some dried spices like onion and garlic powder, and some Italian seasoning, or fresh herbs if you have them. Add some cooked ground beef, a little Parmesan cheese, and you have a righteous meal for not much money. Trust me, your family will much prefer the meal I just described as opposed to a powdered cheesy broccoli soup. Remember, a sack of beans isn't worth a hill of beans if you can't cook with them. Learn more by becoming a student at Food Storage Feast. You can save $30 by using the coupon code PERMA. Just visit foodstoragefeast.com.
That's my man right there, boy. That's what I'm talking about. And it kind of goes hand in hand with what I was talking about in the beginning. Think about it. You can make that meal that Chef Snow was talking about and check it out. Make five times as much. Put it in the freeze dryer. I mean, it's really that simple. Or, I mean, if you got one, we have a link for one down below if you require it. It's not necessary. But like he said, you could keep it just the way it is and then bust it out. Look, I got news for you. You're going to need it in the coming years. Ain't no two ways about it. Look, I'm not going to sit here and do any date setting or anything like that. I'm not waiting on pins and needles, but I do know the clock is ticking. You cannot put on another freaking $1 trillion in a quarter and not see this whole thing, this whole house of cards coming down. In fact, I'll even go on to say that, I mean, let me just ask you this. Let's say you got whatever sitting in the bank. You know that money is going down, down, down. You might be better off investing in new brakes on your vehicle or new tires on your vehicle. Because honestly, the value of those dollars is only going to continue to go down and down and down and down until it just dwindles away to absolutely nothing. So keep that in mind. I mean, that was a great, great addition to the show from Chef Snow, as always. So yeah, go check him out over there, y'all. I need to start doing more of it myself because it's full. I'm not kidding, y'all. We live this life. It's not like some other... You know, there's some other channels out there. I know they're all, you know, I won't say who they are, but there are YouTube channels out there that pretend they're doing this homesteading lifestyle, but basically they got an army of servants out there doing most of their work. Somebody else watching the kids. Well, we ain't them. And there's other people that we know that we've talked about that aren't them either. So we live this life and I'm passing on as best I can. Do I get it right 100% of the time? Nope. But I'll tell you what I did get right. Believe it or not, going after people's personal vehicles is going to start the next American Revolution. It ain't the guns. It ain't the kids. It's the cars. What a sad state of affairs. But I'm telling you, I think I got this one right. Tell me if I'm all wet, y'all. Tell me at billy@permapasturesfarm.com. Also, send all your questions. I think the next show, we're going to probably, I've been saving up a lot of the Q&A stuff to do in an episode. So the people that are reaching out to me, bear with me. Next show, it's probably going to be mostly Q&A. Probably going to stick mostly to it right there. We'll see how it goes. But I'll just cover one of them right now because it's kind of, you know, prescient. Steven was asking, can you explain to me what an open ground is? The tester that came with a Redemption Shield grounding sheet says my outlet has an open ground. Well, that can mean one of two things, depending on what you're using. It's could be saying that there is that the ground and the hot aren't touching, but more than likely you have a ground that isn't going anywhere. So that's usually a problem with some of the older houses. So yeah, you're going to want to get that fixed. You're going to need a ground to make those things. What else you could do, and it's even a better ground, is if you have that situation, you might want to consider putting a ground rod outside the window and, you know, attaching, man, I'll have to show folks how I do that. where you can basically take your, well, I did do that on Patreon. You can run your own ground outside the window, just, you know, sandwich it under the windowsill or some other way to get outside instead of using your house ground. That's even a better ground. That way there's no induction on the line. There's no resonance, none of that stuff. So might not be a bad way to go about it. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for checking me out today. I know it's a little bit short today. Actually, it's probably right on time. Like I said, next show is probably going to be more Q&A. If you got any questions, remember Billy@permapastorsfarm.com, and we'll get you squared away on the next show. Hopefully this was a blessing to you. Until next time, stay alert, stay alive. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. Woo! They wanna push me to the center like a sub. They wanna spin up at the center of the next is me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior.